It is true. That is the message I bring to Earth's millions tonight. It is true. The unbelievable has happened. The inconceivable is reality. Life has reached out to life across the stars and spoken with a recognizable human tongue.
Frame of Deference by Rod Beecham.
Friends, the strange object that appeared without warning on the far side of the moon 3.5 weeks ago has been successfully recovered, subjected to rigorous scientific analysis, and proved beyond doubt to be of extraterrestrial origin. But if I say to you that this fact in itself is no more than a prelude to the significance of our unearthly visitor, that its contents hint at an event so astonishing, so incredible and inspiring, that it makes the notion of intergalactic travel itself pale into mundanity, then, my friends, you may begin to guess at the truly staggering nature of the message it contains. Friends, before I reveal that message to you, I would like you to bear with me while I set the scene for your appreciation of its full significance. To come, patiently and attentively, back with me in time, back 5 years to January 1983, and the precise instant when triumph turned into tragedy.
Earth Mother calling to Womb 7. Earth Mother calling to Womb 7. Billy, we have you in picture. You're looking good. You're looking great. You're looking A number one, okay.
Listen, you guys.
Stand by to fire retro rockets in 1 minute.
Listen, I don't feel so good.
Take it easy, Billy boy.
I feel terrible, you know, Charlie.
Everything's fine. Everything's gonna be fine. Don't worry about a thing.
What's wrong up there?
Nothing. Nothing's wrong. He's fine. You're fine, aren't you, Billy boy?
Oh.
He's fine. Okay. 20 seconds to firing. Commence countdown. Now.
I really don't feel 20, so good, Charlie.
19, 18, 17.
Charlie!
Hang 16, on in there, Billy. 15, hang on in there. Just 14, keep your finger on that precious button.
13, 12, 11.
Oh, God.
10, we're all with you. You know 9, that, don't you, kid? We've all 8, got our arms around 7, you.
Oh, God, I think I'm dying.
6,
Billy.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Christ.
What?
He didn't press it.
Jesus.
Billy, press the button. Press the button, Billy boy. Billy, will you press... He pressed it.
7 seconds late.
He'll be okay.
He goddamn better be.
Billy, can you hear me?
Oh, God. Oh, God, Mama.
Billy, you're all right. We have you in picture. You're looking good. You're looking great. You're looking wonderful. You're looking A number one.
What is it?
I think we lost him.
Oh, no.
Come in, Womb 7. Come in, Womb 7. This is Earth Mother calling Womb 7.
Oh, no.
Do you read me, Womb 7? This is Earth Mother. Do you read me? Billy boy, talk to me. He's gone.
5 years intensive. Millions of dollars, and he can't even press one lousy little button.
Poor little bastard.
Screw him. That's X billion bucks worth of hardware. He just flushed down the great lavatory pan of space.
Drifting about out there all alone.
Never mind him. He's lucky. He doesn't have to face the old man. Jeez, the Pinkos have been screaming for our asses as it is. After this, we'll be lucky if they allocate us enough to send up a weather balloon.
Hello, Earth Mother. This is the world. The world is waiting for a statement from you. There's a nasty rumor going round. We need reassurance. We need comfort.
Oh, hell.
Want me to talk to him?
Hell no. I'll do it.
This is the world, Earth Mother. We are waiting anxiously, prayerfully, hopefully, expectantly for whatever you have to say to us.
Where do they find these people? Citizens of America, citizens of the world, Mr. President, it is not often that a cruel fate thrusts onto the shoulders of one man the awesome responsibility of breaking to an anxious planet news of such tragic, such heart-rending dimensions as will unite all peoples in a common, or perhaps I should say an uncommon, grief. A few moments ago, fate placed just such a responsibility upon my shoulders. William Makepeace Service was, and for the moment at least still is, a very brave young American, reared in the finest traditions of duty and dedication to the common good. His name indeed says it all about his character. For service was William Makepeace's life. Now, as you know, he was picked from the very cream of his generation to journey to the very edge of our solar system, to look out from the last frontier of the half-known into the great, awesome face of the totally unknown. That was his mission, and he carried it out with expertise and with courage. But then came the moment for return, the moment to fire the retro rocket that would turn the nose of Womb 7 away from the blind face of infinity, to gaze once more upon the green hills of home. And it was at this moment that tragedy, always hovering in the wings at such times, decided to step into the spotlight. For William Service was not only a brave young man, a loyal American, and a devoted servant of all mankind, he was also a human being. And human beings, Mr. President, are liable to error. William Service erred at the most crucial moment of his life. And who are we to judge him now, for he has paid a terrible price for that error. The rockets that should have brought him back like a wandering but beloved child to the broad bosom of Mother Earth have instead propelled him out over the very edge of the solar system to drift forever among the distant stars.
Oh, God. For Christ's sake, John.
Sorry.
Now, there will be some among you, I name no names, Mr. President, you know who I mean, who will say that we should take this as a sign, a warning not to continue the great adventure, who will raise shrill voices in a demand that we abandon the conquest of outer space. To those people, I would say just one thing. No great step, no real meaningful achievement in the history of mankind has ever come about without initial failure and great personal sacrifice. William Service must not have died in vain. His failure must be a springboard from which we must follow him on his journey to immortality. And now let me end by saying just this. We can no longer hear William Service, but there is every possibility that he can hear us. I know that he would want to know that our thoughts, our prayers, our love go with him at this time. And what better way can we demonstrate the universality of that love than by falling to our collective knees and saying together the Lord's Prayer? People of the world, let's hear it for Billy Boy. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy
kingdom come.
Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver.
That's it. Yep. That's it. How about that Mr. Phillips, though? All those nice things after the way I let him down. I guess if a man's really big, he's big all the way through. All his troubles is because I got sick for a minute or two. I guess there's a moral there somewhere, though I can't quite see it at the moment. Thing is, what do I do now? I mean, I have all these supplies that were supposed to get me back to Earth. Strictly speaking, unless I run into a meteor or something, I could stay up here for 6 months just going and going. Maybe I should take a sleeping pill, switch off the life support systems, and go to sleep and not wake up. I guess that'd be a pretty cowardly thing to do. On the other hand, I can see it would be a pretty noble thing to do, kind of Roman. Ah, nuts. How can you decide whether a thing's noble or whether it's cowardly if there's no one around to tell you? I'm not equipped for that sort of decision. What I think, I'll take a sleeping pill, but I won't switch off the life support. I'll just sleep on it. Things always look brighter in the morning. Yeah. Maybe I should say another prayer, ask God to watch over me. You can hardly miss me out here. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, will that be a lucky break? Whew, I'm getting a little lightheaded here.
Go to sleep, Billy.
Mama? Is that you, Mama?
Of course it's me. Go to sleep, darling.
Oh, sing to me, Mama. Sing me to sleep.
Rock-a-bye spaceman on your space hop. When asteroids roar, the capsule will rock. When the stars shake, the capsule will fall. Down will come capsule, Billy.
Don't. See, bro, stop doing that.
Stop doing what?
You know what.
What? This, you mean?
Yes, stop it.
Let me get it quite clear. This is what you want me to stop doing, right?
See, bro, you're dreadful.
Oh, you kiss beautifully, Minnie.
Yes. Well, I don't mind kissing, but you never know when to stop. It isn't funny, see, bro. I shouldn't be here at all, you know. I'm virtually engaged.
What, to Macho?
Yes, Macho. What's wrong with that?
Oh, nothing. Nothing wrong with Macho. As brainless thugs go. He's neither more brainless nor more thug-like than the rest of them. Do you draw the line at kissing with him?
Of course.
Oh, so you have kissed him then?
Oh, well, what do you expect? I've told you, we're almost engaged.
Who do you like it best with? Him or me? Minnie?
Well, it's different. With you, it's all warm and jokey. He kisses with his mouth tight and hard, as if he was angry with someone.
Yes, well, some women like that sort of thing.
It is rather exciting. Oh, don't look like that. I'm confused enough already. Anyway, I must be going. Really?
Yes. Better get back to Mummy and Daddy before they find out you've been spending the afternoon with. Minnie, how could you? How could you shame us by appearing in public with that... that traitor, that freak, that... What do they call me?
Coward. They call you a coward. I told them you weren't.
That was big of you.
I said you weren't afraid to go up the mountain again. You just thought it was rather silly.
I bet that delighted them. Anyway, you were wrong. I'm afraid to go up again.
Yes, well, everyone's a bit afraid.
Then how extremely stupid of them to go.
Oh, Zebra.
I love you, Minnie.
I can't think why. I'm so stupid. Don't laugh.
I love you because you're warm and kind. And because you don't pretend emotions you don't feel. And you don't hide the ones you do feel. Because...
because I'm stupid.
Because you have the nicest, roundest, softest bottom on the whole of me, Dad.
Zebra.
All right, you have the hardest, hairiest bottom.
Zebra. Do you honestly not believe...
I believe in what I can see and what I can touch, nothing else.
Oh, but that's nonsense.
Not at all.
What about happiness? You can't see happiness.
No, but you can see happy people. If there weren't any happy people, happiness wouldn't have any meaning. Just as if nobody loved anybody, love would have no meaning. When there are no more happy people, there'll be no more happiness. And when there are no more lovers, there'll be no more love.
Don't.
What?
You make me shiver.
Come here.
Zebra.
What I can see. What I can touch.
Zebra, stop it! Zebra. What was it?
I don't like to think. I suppose I'd better go and have a look. Now, look, you wait here.
Oh, no, don't leave me. I'm coming with you.
I've never seen anything like it before.
Neither have I.
Well, then, since it came out of the sky, and since neither of us have seen anything like it before, there seems to be only one logical deduction.
Oh, that's silly.
What?
Well, there are no such things as spaceships.
See? Yesterday I'd have agreed with you. Today I see it, so I believe in it. You see it too, Minnie, but you still don't believe in it.
Well, see, bro, I honestly don't think this is the time for a philosophical discussion. Well, what should we do?
Report it to someone, I suppose. How about your father? It's more or less in his province.
See, bro, it's opening!
Get down behind the bushes.
He's getting out! Oh, he's going to be a monster. I know it is.
Well, It looks moderately normal.
Well, how can you say that? It hasn't got a face.
I think that's some sort of uniform. Yeah.
Oh, listen to the noise it makes. Why is it thrashing about like that?
Perhaps it's in pain.
Zebro! He's taking its head off!
Air. It's air. I'm breathing. I can breathe. Oh. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for watching over me. Thank you for...
Oh, poor thing.
Oh. Well,
I guess it just goes to show. In the darkest hour, you know. There I was, only a few more minutes of oxygen, the Grim Reaper with his hand on my shoulder, and now here I am on another planet.
Another planet?
I claim this planet on behalf of the people of Earth and the good old U.S. of A.
I'm afraid it's already spoken for.
Hell.
Welcome to Nader. I'm Zebro, and this is Minnie. There's no need to be frightened.
Well, I'm not frightened. Because you don't exist. I'm still up there in the capsule, hallucinating. The biggest space trip of all time.
I assure you, we're quite real.
Mm. Oh, come on. It's too much. You look so human.
Well, alternatively, you look so Nadean.
Yeah? Well, how do you account for that?
It seems probable that life, whenever and wherever it occurs in the universe, has to follow a set pattern.
Uh-huh.
The same gases have to combine to produce the same liquid, and the same single cell life form has to emerge from that liquid. And the process of evolution, give or take one or two minor divergences along the way, has to end up producing something pretty much like you and me.
Okay, I'll buy that.
What did you say your name was?
Oh, sorry, ma'am. Service. William Makepeace Service, Commander, U.S. Air Force.
What long names they have where you come from.
Oh, my friends call me Billy, ma'am.
Well, Billy, are you hungry?
Am I hungry? Can you imagine a year up there and the only way to vary your diet is to have the green pills for breakfast instead of the red ones? Still, I mean, I don't want to be rude, but... What exactly do you folks eat?
What would you like?
What would I like? What would I like? Well, I tell you what I'd really like. A salt beef sandwich. Great hunks of red beef smeared all over with mustard, crammed between two pieces of rye with a pickle on the side. Oh, my God. I can almost taste it.
Only almost? Yeah.
Actually, that's not very funny, man.
Actually, she isn't trying to be funny.
Eat it. Close your eyes, concentrate on your salt beef or whatever you call it, and eat.
Why do I have to close my eyes?
Well, just to help you concentrate.
It's up to you. Either you're hungry or you're not.
Well, I guess I'll die anyway if I don't eat. Oh, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I'm dead, right? If I'm not dreaming, I must be dead.
Is it good?
Is it good? Is it good? In all my life, I never... Oh, boy. Manny Leibowitz eats her heart out.
What do you think of him?
Well, I'm reserving my opinion.
Oh, excuse me, ma'am. I was just so darn hungry.
Here.
What's this?
Dessert.
You mean it can make other things besides salt beef?
Anything you want. What would you like?
Well, I was just thinking. Nah, it would be too much. But when I was a kid, my old grandma, she used to bake this blueberry pie like you've never tasted in your whole life. She died when I was 11, and ever since then I've dreamed about that pie because nobody, not even Mama, could ever bake a pie quite like it.
Well, go on, then. Try it.
Enjoy, enjoy.
Oh, no. Oh, no, I don't believe it. Wow, I can feel the juice trickling down my chin. Holy Moses. What do you call this stuff?
It's called parva.
Parva? Parva. God,
If I could just get a crate load of this stuff back to Earth, I could buy my own spaceship. Yeah, can you imagine? From one end of the country to the other, Parva palaces. Parva, the miracle food. Never mind as much as you want for $5. Anything you want for $5.
I'm not sure you quite understand.
Nah, maybe you're right. I mean, this stuff's unique. Maybe I should go right up market. Exclusive Parva clubs. Annual subscription, members only, luxurious but tasteful dining rooms, elegant waiters moving silently across thick carpets, a sheet of card with a menu at the top in Gothic script, and the rest completely blank. With a discreet bow, they hand you a gold-tipped pen.
I think perhaps it's time I put you in the picture. You see...
To save time, it's probably a good idea if I tell you what Seabro is saying. He's telling Billy how, here on the lovely planet Nida, we don't need money for food because the parva grows everywhere. And it's not only delicious, but also contains every vitamin and protein your body could possibly need. And all for shelter, because we build all our own houses with simple but refined skill and easily accessible materials. And all for warmth, because the three suns of the lovely planet Nida ensure that night or day the temperature varies only 2 or 3 degrees one side or the other of absolute perfection. How the air of the lovely planet Nida is so sweet and pure, there's hardly any disease, and what there is swiftly cured. How there are no wars, because, owing to an almost unbelievable piece of biological good fortune, no Nidian couple ever produces more than 2 children, so the population remains constant and there's room for all. Also for another reason, which, as Seabro, for reasons of his own, is keeping a secret from Billy, I shall in all fairness keep a secret from you. How all Nidians live to be 140, at which time they resemble people in their early 50s in your terms of reference. How people on the lovely planet Nada, with a few significant exceptions, die peacefully and painlessly in their sleep.
That's paradise.
It's a point of view, certainly. Well now, what are we going to do about you?
I think you're right. I think we'd better take him home to Daddy.
Yes, that's probably the best thing. Daddy is Minister of Applied Science, very high up in the Nidian establishment. Only 2 or 3 rungs from the very top, in fact.
And really awfully sweet.
And renowned, as Minnie so rightly says, for his sweetness. Only it might be a good idea if you didn't mention meeting me.
Why not?
Well, just... I should let it be known that Minnie was alone when she found you, all right?
Well, okay. Whatever you say.
Nacho, how long are you going to go on doing that? You might at least let me come and join you.
Happy to. 93.
I could get underneath you. Or on top, even. That could really turn you off.
Shut up, Libida.
Oh, are you getting angry? Would you like to be?
No, I wouldn't. I'm busy. Damn!
What's the matter, darling?
You've made me lose count.
Well, you have to start from one again, won't you?
There was a time when you enjoyed watching me do press-ups.
There was a time when I enjoyed holding hands in the moonlight. But simple pleasures lose their charms all too swiftly. Not that my palate has been in any danger of becoming jaded lately.
I'm in training.
My God, is this going on for another 3 weeks?
You do want me to win again, don't you, Libida? Or have you got tired of the best seats at the theatre? The highest place at the table, the envious bitchy glances, and all the other spicy little pleasures that go with being the champion's woman.
I thought I was going to have to do without them anyway.
What are you talking about?
Where are you going tonight?
You know perfectly well I'm dining at the Robex.
I'm not invited.
It's business.
Oh, of course, naturally. He wants to pick that marvellous brain of yours to help him over a particularly knotty scientific problem.
Just shut up, would you?
Just as you like. Still, I would have thought if this was the night you're going to solemnise your engagement to that jardy-eyed little pudding, I might at least have been considered an interested party. You really think I'm an idiot, don't you?
I was going to tell you.
Darling, of course you were, the minute you got back from the honeymoon. Oh, it's all right, you know. I don't mind.
You don't?
Of course not. We all have to make our way in the world. You and I have only one asset, our bodies. Though admittedly, we have slightly different ways of capitalising on them. And nobody can stay champion forever. So what are you going to fall back on when all those lovely muscles start running to flab? Certainly not your brains.
Thank you.
But married to the daughter of the Minister of Science, halfway up the political ladder at one jump.
Wherever I go, I'll take you with me.
Going to write it into the marriage contract, are you?
We'll just have to be discreet, that's all.
Possibly. I might have other plans.
What? What do you mean? What other plans?
Darling, perhaps you're right. Perhaps you'd better get into training. You seem to have so much riding on this particular competition.
You would, wouldn't you? If I lost. At that door so fast your feet wouldn't touch the ground.
Mercy, how can you say that? You know perfectly well I'd comfort you and pat your little hand and let you cry your eyes out on my bosom.
Utter bitch.
But everybody says what a perfect couple we make.
My boy.
Sir.
My boy.
Sir.
I don't quite know what to say.
Well, I guess I'm a bit stuck for a meaningful phrase myself, sir.
So it is possible. Space travel is really possible.
I guess so.
Well, well. Oh, we worked it out in theory, of course, some 100 years or so back. But it's so nice to have practical confirmation.
Well, how come you never did it yourself, sir?
Ah, well, no offence intended, but we could never quite justify all that risk and expense for something that, apart from providing an interesting intellectual challenge, didn't really seem to have a lot of point to it. Yeah, but tell me, how long can you stay? I imagine you have a fairly lengthy itinerary.
No, sir. You don't understand. My ship's a write-off. I can't go anywhere.
My boy, how dreadful.
Oh, your poor mother.
Thank you, ma'am.
Oh, but how lucky you landed safely. And how lucky our Minnie was there to find you. Weren't you frightened, Minnie?
A bit at first.
Of course you were.
Well, my boy, you're welcome to stay here for as long as you want. As long as you want.
And you couldn't be in better hands. My husband is one of the most influential men on the planet. No. We know everyone. Everyone who matters.
Well, that's real nice of both of you.
It will be an honor for us, I assure you.
Oh, Rebecca, dear, just one thing. Macho.
Macho?
Coming to Parva this evening. You've forgotten in all the excitement.
Oh, quite. Perhaps under the circumstances...
Oh, please. Any friend of yours is bound to be a friend of mine. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
Tell me, Billy, what is this blueberry pie you're so fond of?
Well, ma'am, I guess it's what you'd call a sort of pie filled with blueberries.
How interesting.
Such a pity one can't convey the essence of a taste in words. Then we could all join you.
What I don't understand, if you all eat parva all the time, how do you make a taste of anything? I mean, if you've never eaten anything else.
Ah, but we used to grow all sorts of different foods there. 1,357 varieties, Peter.
Oh.
And now the essence of all these foods, distilled in liquid form, is kept on file at the Institute of Science. Now, as part of their education, every young Indian visits it once a week to add 2 or 3 new items to his parva repertoire.
I see.
What about this other stuff, this salt beef?
Well, that's just beef, really, from a cow, you know.
A cow? Oh, no. Something else we haven't got.
Yeah, of course, the point is, we may very well have all these things under different names. Billy, I'll take you round the botanical gardens. Perhaps you'll see some cow growing there.
Well, actually, sir, it's an animal.
You eat animals?
Minnie.
Actually, you know, there's some pretty reliable evidence that that sort of thing was practiced on this planet once upon a time.
Oh, Father, that's just an old wives' tale to frighten the children.
I've never mentioned it in front of you before, but you're old enough to know now. And as Macho is practically one of the family... There's a small room at the very top of the institute. The children are never allowed anywhere near it, and it's always kept locked. Only 4 of us have the keys. No one but the most serious of students is permitted over the threshold. Some of the tastes are in there.
Father, you haven't!
Purely in the interests of historical research.
Oh, I think it's disgusting.
Well, actually, you know, meat is very good for you. Full of protein. builds up the muscles.
Sounds like your line of country, Macho.
Yes, indeed, sir.
Macho is our resident hero, you know. Oh. Won the quiz 3 years running. Isn't that right, Macho?
Oh, I was just lucky, sir.
No, nonsense. Heroes make their own luck. Don't they, Minnie?
I don't really know much about it.
I'm afraid your daughter doesn't share your admiration for my achievements, sir.
Yeah, of course she does. She's just a bit shy.
What? This quest, sir, what is it exactly?
Speaking of the quest, excuse me interrupting, but have you seen this?
Oh, no. Mara, look at this. This time he really has gone too far.
Oh, his poor mother.
Yeah, I must say, I thought it was a bit much.
A bit much? Oh, it's nothing for you to worry about, Billy. It's the handiwork of a rather pathetic specimen named Cebro.
Cebro? Right. Well, but I thought he seemed kind of nice.
Minnie?
We weren't doing anything.
I should think not, indeed.
I was just walking and he happened to be there.
Idiot.
Sorry.
Minnie, go to your room this instant.
Oh, why should I? I'm old enough to choose my own friends.
If you're not concerned for your own reputation, you might at least consider your mother's and mine. Now go to your room. At once.
Oh, I think you're all hateful.
What that girl needs is a good session in the think box.
Oh, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to...
No, not at all. It's we who should apologize.
It's not my place to say it, sir, but I think perhaps you've been a little too soft with Minnie.
Possibly. Well, possibly. Only daughter, you know.
Oh, she's a good girl. Just easily led.
She needs a strong man to take her in hand.
Tell me, this guy Cipro, what is it with him? Like I say, he seemed pretty straight to me. Mind you, I really didn't see that much of him.
He's a misfit.
Troublemaker.
A freak.
Really? Mm. Yeah. Well, I guess he did seem a little weird at that. Only goes to show.
Impressive, don't you think, Billy?
Sir?
The council chamber. Do you have anything comparable on your own planet?
Why? I guess it's a little small compared to what I'm used to, sir.
Small? It's the largest building on Nada. My fellow ministers.
Now then, Rebecca, what's all this they're saying? Are you trying to pull our legs?
No leg pull, I assure you, Momus. Billy, may I present Momus Madge, Supreme Minister of Nada. Momus, this is William Makepeace Service
of the planet Earth. Oh. Well, it's not that I want to doubt your word, Rebecca.
Oh, of course not, of course not.
But do you have any evidence to substantiate this rather remarkable assertion?
Billy is my evidence.
Well, yes.
He looks remarkably Nadean to me.
The vital statistics of every Nadean ever born are on file at the relevant ministry. If you care to check him out.
Oh. Well, then, what can I say but welcome to Nada.
Yeah.
Tell me, what do you think of our little planet?
Well, sir...
He thinks it's very little.
Now, that's not fair, sir. I mean, from what I've seen, your scientific developments are truly remarkable. And your culture, too, I guess. But if you don't mind me saying so, industrially, you're third world.
Third world? Well, this is all a little confusing.
What I mean, sir, you have all this amazing technological knowledge, but... Well, you don't seem to put it to any meaningful commercial use. Well, for one thing, you walk everywhere.
Yes. You think we should run, is that it?
No, sir. But on my planet, we have these things called cars. Machines on wheels that you step into and they move along under their own power.
Ah, you mean automotive.
Oh, it's another little idea we worked out in theory 100 years ago.
The point is, Billy, we decided that if we produce this machine... then everybody would want to have one. Well, can you imagine? A whole planet crisscrossed with huge lumps of metal whizzing this way and that at enormous speed.
Can you imagine the consequences if two of them were to collide with one another?
Naturally, I don't want to seem critical. And obviously nothing untoward has occurred on your planet as yet. But I'm afraid we consider it a very real possibility.
Well, you could be right, sir.
Still not to worry. Now tell me, is there anything else about Nada that puzzles you?
Well...
Well, sir, there's this quest I keep hearing about.
Ah, yes, the quest. Well,
Momus, excuse me interrupting, Billy, but you've just reminded me. Momus, I think you ought to see this.
Seabro's challenge. I know all about that.
Challenge? What challenge? What's that little worm been up to now?
He wants me to call a grand debate and dispute with him the validity of the quest.
Oh, that's the impertinence. That boy needs to be locked into a think box and left there until he's seen the error of his ways.
Oh, do you think so? Personally, I'm half inclined to accept.
Amazed. Momus, you can't be serious.
Why? You think I'd lose?
No, of course not. That's not the point. But he'd have got what he wanted. Intellectual respectability for his cowardice.
Tell me, Billy, are you much troubled by subversive elements where you come from?
Oh, hell yes. The woods are full of them.
And how do you go about dealing with them?
Well, sir, the way we look at it, freedom of speech is a God-given right of every American.
Quite.
But if he abuses that freedom and goes around upsetting everyone, well, I guess he shows he wasn't really entitled to it in the first place.
A very sensible way of looking at it.
Yes, you may be right. I shall have to think about it.
Pity about Seabro. Great pity.
I guess there's a rotten apple in every barrel.
Such a bright young man. We all had high hopes of him. Until his first quest, of course.
Tell me, sir, what exactly...
Oh, look. There's Macho.
Oh, yeah. Say, who's that lady with him?
What's more to the point, why is the lady with him? Good morning, Macho.
Good morning, Robeck.
Yeah, I've just been presenting our young friend to the council.
Oh, yes.
Libida, my dear. I don't think you've had the pleasure of meeting Billy, and have you?
Are you the spaceman?
I guess so, ma'am.
You must be very brave.
Macho, I wonder if I could have a quick word with you.
Well, actually, we were
just... Won't take a minute. Now then, what's all this? I thought it was clearly understood that you were to break with Libida.
Oh, I intend to, sir, I promise you. But I'm sure you appreciate these things have to be done tactfully. I've already begun to lay the groundwork.
Don't think I don't understand your reluctance. Ooh. Tell me, is it true that she...
Legs? Oh, yes, sir, always.
Extraordinary.
Well, not only that, she... Parvely.
Really? I wouldn't have thought that was possible.
Oh, it is if you support.
By the beast. However, that's neither here nor there. Well, you know what I mean. What concerns me is the future.
You look so young to be on such a great adventure.
Well, ma'am, you have to be pretty young, you know. It's very important to be strong and healthy.
Yes, you look healthy. Tell me, does everyone on your planet have such deep blue eyes?
Well, it's a family trait, ma'am. All the services have blue eyes. Pure British stock, originally.
How interesting.
Ma'am, are you related to Mr. Macho in some way?
I'm his mistress.
Oh, right.
For the moment, anyway. It's rather a loose arrangement.
Oh. Tell me, ma'am.
Libida,
right. Libida, this quest I keep hearing about...
Oh, yes. That's just the sort of thing that would interest a man like you. Are you going to enter?
Well, I don't exactly know.
Oh, do, please. I like winners, Billy. And you look like a winner to me.
Billy, time we were off.
Billy, I'd like to see you again, alone. Then you can tell me all about your planet.
Sure, but where? When?
I'll let you know.
I think the minister is anxious to get home.
Oh, right. Well, see you then. Goodbye, Libida.
Goodbye, Billy.
What were you whispering to him about?
I was just asking him what it's like where he comes from.
Oh, yeah.
Do they have any interesting customs? Any different ways of doing things?
Bitch.
Oh, Minnie, there you are. I've been looking for you everywhere.
Have you?
I wanted to apologize for last night. I didn't mean to get you into trouble.
It wasn't your fault, I suppose.
Your father's right, though, you know. You really oughtn't to hang around with that guy, Seabro.
Well, you liked him well enough yesterday.
Yeah. Well, that was before I found out the kind of troublemaker he was.
He's not a troublemaker.
What was that?
Goodness, listeners. Someone's thrown a stone through the window. How fortunate we don't have glass on the lovely planet Nader.
What is it, some kind of demo?
There seems to be a note wrapped round it.
Do they always deliver the mail that way?
It's seems to be addressed to you. Well, you certainly must make friends quickly.
Oh, I think I know who it's from. Meet me at the western corner of the woods in an hour. Come alone.
Wow.
I have to go out for a while.
Would you like me to show you the way?
No. No, that's okay.
Lupita! Lupita! Lupita, is that you? Over here.
Oh. It's you, is it?
Why are you calling Lupita?
She sent me a note to meet her here.
I sent you that note.
You? Hey, now listen, buddy, I don't know what you had in mind.
I see they've already managed to turn you against me.
Look, Fran, nobody did any turning. I make my own decisions.
And what have you decided?
I've decided since everyone I meet seems to think you're some kind of a weirdo, there must be something in it.
I envy you your objectivity.
Listen, Fran, that's democracy. Something guys like you never understand.
I have a distinct feeling I'm wasting my time.
Probably. What was it you wanted, anyway?
I was hoping for your help.
Help?
In opposing this ridiculous quest.
No, you got the wrong man, buddy.
You mean you don't think it's ridiculous?
No, I don't. And in what way do you think it's ridiculous?
Well, isn't it obvious?
Well, yeah, but just go through it in detail and point out the ridiculous bits.
You don't know what it is, do you? Do you?
Okay, so tell me about it.
Here, on the lovely planet Nada, all seems warm, temperate, hospitable. A lush paradise where man can live forever at one with nature and his fellow beings. But there is, Billy. There is, tucked away to the far north, an area as cruel and hostile, as savage as the rest of the planet is kindly. 60 miles of arid desert, where not so much as a stream trickles. And at the far side, a thick, vicious jungle that man can only crawl through on torn hands and bleeding knees. And at the very center of this jungle, the sacred Mount of Nada, rearing its cold, implacable face 5,000 feet to the sky. Every year, the men of Nada, who have passed their 18th birthday and not arrived at their 28th, join together in a great cruel race to the mountaintop, to the lair of the mystic beast, a fabled creature that dwells deep in a cave, the topmost peak. A beast that no one has ever seen, except with a flash of purple and silver, moving at the corner of your eye.
Then how do you know it exists?
It leaves evidence. The beast is a fastidious creature, always emerging from the deep womb of its cave to void its bowels upon the mountaintop. This dung, these droppings dry in the cold air, attaining the color and consistency of liquid gold. The beast seems to be abstemious as well as fastidious. For each year, the droppings amount to no more than will fill a moderately large leather pouch. First man on the mountaintop fills his pouch, fights his way back down the face of the mountain, through the jungle, across the desert, and drops his prize at the feet of his lady love.
You mean that's what this quest is all about? A pile of dung?
When I was 18, I went into the quest myself automatically. I struggled for the prize with the best of them. I managed to limp home an honorable fifth. But my two closest friends weren't so lucky. They didn't come back at all.
You mean people get killed?
Every year, out of the 400 entrants, between 15 and 20 never return. And as many again are crippled for life.
Holy Hannah. And I called you a weirdo. I mean, I don't like to criticize other people's customs, but this is crazy.
Exactly. That's why I need your help.
Sure, but I don't see what I could do.
I've challenged Momus to debate the quest in open forum. I have that right, but he has the right to refuse. I want you to use your influence to make sure that he doesn't refuse.
I don't have any influence.
You're a visitor, a guest. He'll want to impress you. I must have a debate, you see, because the winner is decided by secret ballot. That means that all the people who agree with me, but who are too frightened to say so, will finally get a chance to make their point.
I'll do what I can.
Thank you.
Hey, tell me one thing. Hmm? You say the guy who gets back with this dung gives it to his girlfriend. What the hell does she do with it?
Mixed with the correct oils, the dung of the mystic beast produces a striking and indelible paint for the adorning of the human body.
Huh?
It is highly sought after by the women of Nader.
You'll be disappointed, Billy.
Well, I'm sure I won't, sir. It looks very exciting. I'm not quite sure of the function of the orchestra, though.
Don't they make use of orchestras on these occasions on your planet?
Well, I mean, if there's some kind of ceremonial first.
All will be made clear. Ah, here's Momus in full regalia.
Good day, Rebek. Good day, young man. I hope we're going to put on a good show for you.
Well, it was real nice of you to stage this debate for my benefit, sir.
Well, to be honest, it's not entirely for your benefit. It gives me a chance to put Sebro in his place, while at the same time making sure that no one takes the motion too seriously.
So, Otto, over here.
Ah, I hear that Sebro has been complaining that he can't get a composer to touch his case. He's had to cobble something together himself. No doubt it'll be dreadful.
What a pity. I could have easily lent him a state composer. We want a fair fight, after all.
If he'd had any case at all, he could have found his own composer. Oh, we'd better take our places now.
All right. You can let them in now.
Just a moment. Where's Sebro? We can hardly start without the challenger.
Ah, Sebro. We were wondering if you thought better of it.
Rebek, I want to ask for an hour's postponement. I've only just finished my composition.
That's out of the question.
But that's not fair. I haven't had time to rehearse the orchestra.
The orchestra doesn't need rehearsal. They can sight-read music 10 times more complicated than yours is likely to be. Give your store to the conductor and let's get
I wish to lodge a formal complaint.
Noted, noted. Right, let them in. Fellow citizens, as you may know, our respected and beloved Supreme Counselor Momus has done this debate the signal honor of agreeing to be our participant. So it falls to my lot to be your chairman for the evening. Before we begin, may I welcome on behalf of you all William Service of the Planet Earth, who will be viewing the proceedings as an interested, disinterested observer. The motion before you tonight is that the annual quest is dangerous, foolhardy, and utterly pointless, and should be abandoned as from this instant. I call upon Councillor Momus to demolish the motion.
Doesn't the proposer speak first?
As the challenge party, Momus has the right to choose.
Oh, I see.
Are you ready, Maestro?
Ready, Councillor.
After four, then.
One, two, three, four.
My friends, people, let us examine this motion as though it were a machine, the better to see what flaws we can find therein. The quest is dangerous. My friends, what can I say? The quest is dangerous, but tell me, how would our friend have our young men test and refine their skill and strength and courage? You cannot temper without heat. You cannot purify without fire. We do not deny the danger of the quest. We glory in it. The quest is foolhardy. There are and always will be timid souls to whom courage is foolhardy. I know of such people, and I pity them. But I say this, that it is this folly that lifts man above the beasts of the field and sets him on the mountain top where he belongs. If the desire to excel is folly, then I, for one, am glad to be a fool. The quest is pointless. My friends, again, what can I say? For those to whom the quest has no point, it is indeed pointless. For those to whom courage has no meaning, courage is meaningless. For those to whom excellence has no meaning, excellence is meaningless. And to those poor lost souls to whom honor has no meaning, honor itself is meaningless. But my friends, to those of us to whom courage, excellence, honor are the very watchwords of existence, there is no need to ask the point of the quest. The quest is its own point, its own meaning. It has stood immutable, eternal for 1,000 years. Let it stand for 1,000 more. Thank you, my friends. Maestro.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, Billy, what do you think?
Well, it was pretty uplifting, I guess, sir. But the music made it a little hard to think.
These are important issues, Billy. Honor, courage, nobility. Gut reactions, my boy. Thinking has nothing to do with it.
Except I can see where the guy with the best music could win the debate.
Well, of course. It proves that he has the greater moral inspiration.
Oh, right.
Zebra, I call upon you to defend the motion. And the best of luck.
People of Nader, let me speak to you of the things that really matter. Not of harsh, empty pride in that cruel, destructive honor that carries within it the seeds of its own dishonor. Let me speak to you of truth and love and beauty. Maestro, if you please.
One, two, three.
Let me speak to you of work. Not the violent expenditure of energy in a senseless pursuit of a meaningless ideal, but work with a purpose, a meaning, so that it enriches your fellow man even as it ennobles you. So that at the end of the day, a man may look back and say, I made this. This will endure. Let me speak to you of beauty. The beauty of purple leaves drifting across the face of the water as the three orange suns sink slowly in a green sky. The beauty of the call of the Mojack as he wins his way homeward, echoed by the plaintive sound of a flute in a distant room. Let me speak of the warmth, the gentleness, the almost unendurable loveliness of woman. Let me speak of love. The love of friend for friend, of a father for his child, of a husband for his mate. And you would risk all this. Would you throw away all this in the vicious, insane pursuit of nothing at all?
You've missed the point, Zebro.
Yes, well, they don't seem to think so.
You've missed the point. Nobody's denying the value of such things. Nobody wants to take them away from you. We simply say there's more to life than that.
What you can see, what you can touch, nothing else.
For you, perhaps. Others of us can see beyond the ends of our noses. We simply wish to be allowed to follow where our own vision leads. But the quest, after all, is voluntary.
Voluntary? When every man who doesn't participate is made to feel a coward and a freak?
If that's what he feels, doubtless there's good reason for it.
Very well, then. I appeal to the stranger.
What do you mean?
Well, as you say, we are fortunate to have a disinterested observer. Unbiased, unprejudiced, unconditioned. I merely wish to ask his opinion.
It's completely without precedent.
Well, naturally, since we've never had it before.
Moments?
I have no objection.
Very well. Billy, I'm sorry to put you in a difficult position, but Seabrook has been a choice. Would you be kind enough to give us your opinion on the validity of the quest?
Well, sir, I certainly was deeply moved by by Counselor Mom's speech. Where I come from, we believe in those things too. Honor, courage, the pursuit of excellence. I guess we think that without these things, a man isn't much of a man. But I have to say this, sir. We also believe that these qualities should be put to a useful and productive purpose, to the attainment of some worthwhile and meaningful goal. Not just a pile of shit.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to request a brief recess.
Granted.
On what grounds?
On the grounds that the unprecedented calling of our honored guest to act as arbitrator requires that I be given time to adjust my argument to the new circumstances.
Exactly.
But you didn't object.
Exactly. So naturally I expect you to extend me the same courtesy.
You're going to tamper with the witness.
Nonsense. Anyway, he's not a witness, he's a judge. Judges can't be tampered with. This debate is adjourned for...
3 hours.
For 3 hours.
Oh, I feel really terrible about it, sir. But what could I do?
Nothing. You were in an intolerable position. You had to tell the truth as you saw it.
Well, that's the way I felt, sir.
Now, put it out of your mind for a moment. That's why we've come here, to the Hall of Science, so I can give you a conducted tour of some of our more interesting exhibits while Momus is rethinking his case.
Well, I don't want to seem difficult, sir, but I guess he's never going to convince me.
Well, we shall have to see. Now then, Billy, Tell me, do you have anything like this on your planet?
What is it? An electric chair?
It's powered by electricity, yes. This, Billy, is a cerebral purifier, more popularly known as the Think Box. You know how sometimes all your thoughts get jumbled up in your head so that if you try to make a decision, choose a course of action, your brain actually hurts?
I feel a bit like that right now.
Exactly. Well, this machine simply untangles your thoughts, separates them, rearranges them in the proper order so that you can see clearly again.
Kind of a cross between a psychiatrist and an aspirin.
Exactly. Well, why don't you give it a try? It's in working order.
I guess I'd really rather not.
Oh. Oh, well, if the idea makes you nervous...
No, it's not a question of being nervous. Hell, why not?
That's the spirit.
What do I have to do?
You just sit down. That's right. Then... adjust the helmet over your head, like this. It's not too tight, is it?
No, that's
good.
Fine.
Now, place the palms of your hands on the discs at the end of the chair arms.
Now what happens?
You just close your eyes and relax. That's it. I'm going to switch on now.
Hey!
It's all right, Billy. Just relax.
Is he under?
Mamas, I'm not at all happy about all this.
You said yourself, it's a very pleasant experience.
I don't approve of tampering with people's minds.
There's no question of tampering. You saw yourself how he reacted when you suggested he was afraid to go into the purifier. By instinct and by conditioning, he's 95% there already. That's why I was prepared to let him speak in the debate. Unfortunately, I had underestimated the time it would take him to adjust his frame of reference. All we're going to do is speed up his natural processes.
How far back do you want him to go?
7, I think. Always a useful age.
All right. Billy, can you hear me?
I hear you.
Billy, I'm going to take you back until you're 7 years old. Do you understand me?
I understand.
Right. Off you go, then. It'll take about a minute. I'm still not happy.
Robeck.
Well, after all, the boy's perfectly right.
My dear Robeck, if you can come up with an alternative scheme less risky, more useful, but equally effective at canalizing the aggressive impulses of Macho and his ilk so that they don't turn around and start tearing the rest of us apart, no one will be more delighted than I. In the meantime, we must make do with what we have.
He's there.
Right. I'll take over now. Billy, can you hear me?
I hear you.
How old are you?
Well, I'll be 8 in the fall.
8? My goodness me. And what are you doing now?
I'm coming home from school. You know what? Today I was graded 2nd. 2nd out of 37 kids.
Well done, Billy.
Dad'll be real proud.
Go on.
Dad! Dad!
What is it, son?
I came 2nd. 2nd in the whole class.
Now listen to me, Billy.
Oh, be gentle with him, Arthur.
Eunice, the boy has to learn. So you came 2nd, did you, Billy?
Yes, Dad.
And that makes you proud, does it?
I beat 35 kids.
Now, Billy, listen to me. In this life, there are only 2 places you can come. 1st and nowhere. Nowhere. 2nd or 32nd, it makes no difference.
Miss Hubble said I did real well.
I don't care what Miss Hubble said. I'm telling you, what matters isn't doing well. What matters is doing best.
Oh, but, Dad...
Now, don't argue with me, son. Next week, I want you to come marching through that door and tell me you came 1st. Then I'll be proud of you. You understand me, Billy?
Yes, sir.
Let's move on a bit. Take him to 16.
All right. Billy, now you're 16. 16 years old. How old are you?
16, sir.
And what are you doing?
Well, I'm on the phone to Mary Ellen Mott. She's my girl. Mary Ellen? Mary Ellen, is that you?
Oh, hi, Billy.
Mary Ellen... I didn't make the team.
Yeah, I know. I heard.
You heard? How did you hear?
I don't know. Somebody told me.
Biff Evans. Did he tell you?
I don't remember. Maybe.
I feel really low, you know, Mary Ellen. I really thought I'd make the team.
Yeah, so did I. Billy, I have to go now. I have work to do.
Oh. Okay, I'll see you tonight, then.
Tonight?
Well, we're going to the movies.
Billy, I can't go out tonight.
Why not?
I told you, I have to work. I have bad grades.
Well, you never cared about your grades before.
That's why they're so bad.
Mary Ellen, I really need to see you tonight. I really need to talk to you tonight.
Billy, I can't. I'll see you in school tomorrow, okay?
I guess so. Biff Evans. She's going out with Biff Evans. He made the team, son of a bitch.
Temper. There's hardly anything for us to do.
Where now?
A year ago, just after he left Earth.
All right. Billy, I'm bringing you forward. Forward to exactly 1 year ago. You're in your spacecraft. You've just left Earth. You can see it slowly receding behind you. Ahead of you, a black sea of stars. How do you feel?
Happy. Really happy.
Why are you so happy?
Well, I guess because I've been picked out of everybody on Earth. Because I've been chosen for the big one.
They must all be very proud of you, Billy.
You bet your ass.
Everyone?
Sure.
Everyone? Come on now, Billy. Isn't there anyone who thinks that what you're doing is a waste of time?
Oh, them. Yeah.
What sort of people are they?
Oh, you know. Deadbeats. No hopers.
What do they say, exactly?
Well, you know. That it's a waste of money.
Don't you think they might have a point?
Are you kidding?
Well, what is the use of what you're doing?
What's the use? I'm increasing the sum of human knowledge.
Knowledge? People have managed perfectly well for centuries without knowing what lies on the other side of the stars.
Well, there's a hell of a lot of spin-offs, you know.
Spin-offs?
Well, things we find out by accident while we're researching the space program. Telecommunications, medicine, new forms of nutrition.
Don't you think it might be better to spend all the money on those things?
Say, what is it with you anyway?
Billy, I simply want to know the point of what you're doing.
Well, the point is to go. That's the point. For America to be first and for you to be the first American. To do something that nobody's ever done. To boldly go where no man has gone before.
In other words, it's not the goal that matters, it's the quest. The quest is its own justification, isn't that right, Billy?
I guess so.
Whether the end result is the furthest star or a pile of animal droppings. What matters is the quest.
Right. It's the quest that matters.
Right.
Right.
All right. You can switch off now.
It'll take him a minute or so to come round. Do you think that'll be enough?
I should have thought so. As I say, no basic reconditioning was necessary. Merely a question of helping him adjust his frame of reference. Still, just to be on the safe side, I have added one more factor.
Hmm?
In the next room.
Billy, hello.
Oh, hi, Lupita. What are you doing here?
I wanted to see you.
Well, that's great. But the thing is, I have to get back to the debate.
Billy, you will be taking part in the quest, won't you?
Taking part? I don't know if they'd actually let me.
Oh, do, Billy, please. You can win. I know you can. Billy, if you won, you would give me the prize, wouldn't you?
You know I would.
Oh, Billy.
Lupita, tell me something.
Anything.
Well, I hear that they make this stuff into a kind of body paint, you know. And I guess Macho must have given you the prize every time he'd won, only I don't see any paint.
Oh, you can't see it, Billy. Or rather, you can if you want to. What do you think?
Oh, my God.
You don't think it looks silly? Only having enough for one.
Oh, my God. Lupita.
Billy, I'd so like a matching pair. You could put it on yourself with your own hands.
Oh, Lupita. Oh, my God.
Ah, Billy. We were getting worried about you.
Sorry, sir. I got hung up for a couple of minutes.
Oh, it's all right, my boy. Hey, come and sit down. Citizens of Nader, this debate is once again in session.
Momus, are you ready to produce your new argument?
More than ready, if it proves necessary.
What do you mean, if it proves necessary? We've been waiting here for hours.
I merely wondered if, during that time, our young friend had had any second thoughts that might render my humble efforts superfluous.
Why should he? Billy, where have you been these last 3 hours?
Just wandering around the Hall of Science.
You've had him in the think box.
My dear Seagrove, treating the slur of my personal integrity with the contempt it deserves. May I remind you that it takes at least 2 weeks' intensive cerebral purifying to make so much as a dent in the basic personality. And we've had, what? 3 hours?
All right, then. What do you think, Billy?
About the quest?
Hmm.
Do you think anybody would mind if I went in for it myself?
Billy!
Billy, the honor would be entirely...
We'll be right back.
once again the day of the quest dawns bright and clear. Once again nature lifts her sweet head in blessing, and the three sons of the lovely planet Nada smile down warmly upon us. From where I stand atop the council building, I can see the starting line spread out before me like a great green billiard table, with the competitors in their highly coloured costumes moving to and fro like so many, some of the competitors are exercising, tuning up muscles and sinews, bringing their bodies to the point of maximum readiness. Others sit quietly, meditating, concentrating all their mental and emotional energies for the task that lies ahead. Everywhere, there is a scent of eager excitement, of pawing the earth and sniffing the air. If a planet is to be judged by its young manhood, this is another proud day for the lovely planet Nada. And as I turn back and look over my shoulder, I see beneath an eager, laughing, excited crowd coming from every corner of the city to raise a cheer as starting time approaches for the 1,512th Great Quest of Nada.
Minnie? Minnie?
Zebro, what do you want?
I must talk to you.
I can't stop. I want to watch the start.
Oh, Minnie, it's a farce.
Oh, don't start all that again, please.
You've been avoiding me ever since the debate. Why?
Why don't you enter the quest? You might even win, then they'd have to listen to you.
And if I didn't win?
Well, at least you'd have proved you're not a coward.
Anyway, I've been in the quest.
Yes, once. Zebro! Zebro!
And now, the whole field is a surging, milling throng, as relatives and friends move among the competitors, offering them encouragement, urging them on. Mothers embrace their sons, while fathers squeeze their shoulders in a masculinely affectionate fashion. Boys look up at their older brothers with mingled adoration and envy. Wives and sweethearts kiss their departing heroes.
That's enough, Lupita. Everybody's looking.
I know. Don't you just love it?
Oh, stop it. I mean it.
You are going to win for me, aren't you, Matthew?
I'm quite sure you're talking to the right man.
Don't be silly. It's you I want to win. You know it is.
I think I should tell you. If I win today, I'm going to announce my engagement to Minnie.
And how long do you think that little pudding's going to keep you from my bed?
We'll have to be discreet.
I'm always discreet.
Hello. You're Billy, aren't you?
That's right.
I'm Rolly.
Well, pleased to meet you, Rolly.
Oh, I must say, you're pretty fit.
Well, I'm in pretty fair shape, I guess.
I'm afraid I'm not really up to this sort of thing. Haven't got the figure for it, for one thing. Still, I've let the side down.
Right.
Well, jolly good luck.
And you.
Oh, I think that lady wants to talk to you.
Oh, Lupita. Hi.
Billy. Billy, you are going to win for me today, aren't you?
Well, I'll do my best.
Oh, do more than your best.
Lupita, listen. I mean, even if I don't win, you don't have to stay with Matthew, do you?
Don't be silly, Billy.
Hello,
oh,
Billy!
I'd better go.
Hello, Billy. Here come your sponsors.
What did that woman want?
She was wishing me luck, that's all.
Oh, the nerve of the creature.
I'm sure she has her good points, my dear. Anyway, Billy, we too want to wish you the very best of luck.
We all do.
Well, I guess this is as good a time as any to thank you for all the kindness you've shown me since I got here. Just in case, well, you know.
Oh, please, Billy.
You know, I just want to say that I still love my own dad and mom, of course I do, but I don't think I could have found a better pair of substitutes anywhere in the universe.
My boy.
What's all that noise?
Hmm? There seems to be something going on over there.
Ladies and gentlemen, a sensation. A surprise last-minute entry. An absolute sensation. You won't believe this. I can hardly believe it myself. The name of the last-minute entry is Sabro. That's right, Sabro. The sworn opponent of the quest and everything it stands for. The man who only 2 weeks ago, in the very building on which I am standing, debated unsuccessfully with Supreme Counselor Momus a motion proposing his complete abandonment, has at this 11th hour come to his senses and is entering the race. And, oh, ladies and gentlemen, I wish you could see the warmth and generosity with which the crowd are responding to his decision. Surging around him, shaking his hand, slapping on the back, cheering him. If anything was needed to make this day perfect. Ah, I forgive. Forgive me if my voice is a little choked, ladies and gentlemen, but if there's a more joyful spectacle than a lost Glock returning to the Narge, I don't know what it is. And now, the crowd falls silent. Sabro didn't make his noble act of recantation a moment too soon, for the race is about to start. The 1,512th great quest of Nida is about to start. The crowd draws back. The competitors stand motionless, all eyes grimly fixed on the distant horizon over which they will shortly disappear. And they're off! Surging towards the horizon like a huge unstoppable wave, thundering towards the shoreline. And the hearts of those of us who remain behind go with them, urging them on, wishing only too fervently that we could be with them in body as well as in spirit. Old men sort and shuffle through their memories. Young boys dream of the glories to come. And I myself, not for the first time, curse the old knee injury that prevents me making one of that gallant number. Now, they are gone. Only a faint cloud of sinking dust on the horizon shows us the way they have gone. Now we can only follow them in imagination. Day one. The wasteland. A vast, eye-aching expanse of nothingness. Hard, bare earth and broken stone that tear at the feet, send the unwary tumbling blindly to bruise and shatter shins and elbows. A harsh, raw wind, eating at damp flesh, picking up the sharp, dry dust, grinding it into eyes and faces. No water, except in the far distance, a full day's run away, a distant, mocking invitation.
My ankle! My ankle! I think it's broken!
Day two. The jungle. A tangled mass of multicolored vegetation that wraps itself around you in a thick, rubbery embrace, even while it tears at your flesh, the naked cruelty of steel. Above you, the darkness blots out the three suns, while ahead of you beckons an even thicker darkness, a wet, rancid tangle of pain. No longer united, each fights on his own now, alone with his own courage or the lack of it.
I'm going on. Harder than before. Hurts more.
Day three. The mountain. For a mile and a half, a steep slope of treacherous shale that twists and slides under your feet like a living creature. Over it, on legs weaker than sponge and heavier than concrete, the runners slip and stumble in a lung-ripping daze of agony. Until at last, the final challenge. 500 feet of sheer naked rock that at first glance of sweat-blinded eyes looks as unpeated and smooth as black glass. Only on close inspection can you make out the small fissures, tiny cracks, that might, offer support for blood-caked toes and torn slippery fingers. Now, they summon up reserves they never dreamed existed in a last desperate gamble for glory.
First. Now, where?
There it lies, gleaming dully in the pale sunlight,
Journey's end, hero's reward, the crock of gold at the rainbow's end.
Oh, my God, it stinks. Never mind. There's a bit of smell after what I've been through. Okay, in you go. Bag full.
I'll take that if you don't mind.
Macho.
Come on, hand it over.
What do you mean? I was here first. I got the prize.
Yes. Now all you have to do is keep it.
That's not fair. The rules.
What rules, little Billy? What you can take, you can have. What you can hold, you can keep. Those are the rules.
All right. Okay. But you gotta catch me first.
Now, the descent. Even deadlier than the climb. Caution is thrown to the seven winds in a wild, slithering scramble to maintain advantage.
Billy, help me!
What? Cipro, what?
Help me! I'm stuck! My fingers are numb!
What do you want me to do?
Your hand! Give me your hand!
I can't stop. Much is right behind
Billy,
me.
Billy, for pity's sake!
I don't know.
Billy, please!
There are only two positions in this life, son. First and nowhere.
I don't know, Dad.
Billy! Billy! I'm going!
Cipro, I gotta go. Hang on in there. You'll be okay.
Billy!
You'll be okay!
Look what I can see. What I can touch. What am I doing here? Billy! Cipro!
Don't look back, son. Only losers look back.
I hear you, Dad. I hear you.
I can't go out tonight, Billy. I have a heavy date with Biff Evans. He made the team.
Not tonight, you don't. Tonight, I'm going to make the team.
And now a hush has fallen over the crowd. A tremulous hush of expectancy. For word has come in from our forward observers that two lone competitors have appeared in the distance. One, a slight, almost frail figure, staggering under the weight of the precious burden he carries. The other, a larger man, slowly closing on him, slowly narrowing the gap between them. Who he is, we still don't know. The crowd stand rigid, straining their eyes. Yes, yes, it's true. We can see them now, lurching over the horizon. The winner of the 1512th Great Quest of Nader is moving towards us, pursued by a tall, gallant figure who still doesn't realize he's beaten. And no wonder, because even at this distance I recognize the imposing figure of three-time champion, the once-invincible Macho. I still can't make out who the other figure is. His clothes are in shreds. He's covered with sweat and blood.
Billy!
It's true, it's true! The winner of this year's quest is none other than our visitor from space, hero extraordinary, William Makepeace Service of the planet Earth!
My boy! Oh, my boy, I'm so proud of you!
I'm proud that you're proud, sir.
Billy, what about...
I'm sorry, Minnie.
Oh, no.
Minnie, he had some funny ideas, but at the end he was a real man. I guess he'd have wanted you to know that.
Thank you, Billy. That's a comfort.
Minnie, now that you're alone...
What about me, Billy? Don't forget me.
No one's likely to forget you, bitch.
Billy... Come with me. The crowd want to see you on the victor's podium.
I came first. Mom, Dad, Mary Ellen, I came first.
William Makepeace Service is alive and well and has won the Great Quest of Nader. That was the almost unbelievable message, carved presumably by an alien hand in the side of the mysterious capsule, that arrived from across the galaxies 3.5 days ago. Friends, we can only guess at the true significance of those words. We cannot know what became of William Makepeace Service from that moment 5 years ago when we heard his voice for the last time. We can only guess at the nature and location of the planet Nader. And only in the deeper recesses of our imagination can we begin to conjecture the meaning of the great quest, to picture the nature and quality of the victory he has achieved, far from home, among an unknown race, on an unknown shore. But my friends, what we can say is this. We are not surprised. We may not know the facts, but we know the man, we know the forces that shaped him. We know that deep within him burns that determination to strive, to overcome, to excel and achieve, that illuminates the human spirit from one end of the earth to the other. We may not know the nature of his goal, but we can understand his striving for it. For in the end, are not all goals the same? Whatever was waiting for William Makepeace Service at the end of his quest, rest assured, it is something for which we all are seeking.
In Frame of Deference by Rod Beecham, Billy was played by Stuart Milligan, the narrator Rod Beecham, Mama Catherine Parr, and Libida Alex Marshall. Macho Andrew Seacom, Seabro Stephen Garlick, Minnie Patience Tomlinson, and Robeck Alexander John. Momus Ellis Dale, Ortho and the commentator Stanley Page, Raleigh David McAllister, Mary Ellen Rosalind Adams, and Mission Control, Alan Dudley and Crawford Logan. Technical assistance was by David Greenwood, and the play was directed by Peter King.